have English and Japanese versions of today's message on the table here. Can I ask for help with that?
No worries.
If you'd like an English version, if you'll raise your hand, you can receive that. 同じように日本語の番号がありますので、日本語の欲しい人も手を挙げていただければと思います。日本語と英語の方はあまりずれないように、数字がつけてありますので、時々1、2、3、4、4、4、4、4、4、ありますので、必要だったらそれを見てください。Now that the holiday break is over, I want to return with you to the message series that we began last year. I'll call it God's Word and Moral Issues in Today's World. We've been learning what the Lord says to us in the Bible about war and peace, the environment, sanctity of life, and marriage. I think we'll continue for about two more messages. And today's, I want to focus not on one particular social problem, but some teachings the Bible gives us that link up with all the decisions and actions we take related to right and wrong. Romans 13 doesn't just tell us what we have to do and avoid doing, and more, it gives us a foundation for making wise choices with the motivation of love. And there's the theme. Now, we make moral choices in our lives every day. From the things we choose to put in our minds, from the media, to the kinds of food we choose to buy, and the attitudes that we take to the people around us, all of those have moral decisions involved. The writer, Paul, has made maybe more than his share of mistakes in life, and he understands how difficult it can be to choose and do the right thing, to go the right path when the world around us pulls us so hard in another direction. Also, Paul and many of the readers of the book of Romans come from an Old Testament background. So he and many of these people are very aware of the many rules for living that God gives his people in the Old Testament law. God's people have very strict rules provided for us, and God has very high standards for his people. So, it's remarkable when Paul writes in verse 8, those who love others have done everything the law requires. Then, after listing some key moral teachings, he says, you can put them all in one simple summary. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It all comes back to love. And that sounds much like the theme of his famous words in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with, suppose I speak in the languages of human beings and of angels. If I don't have love, I'm only a loud gong or a noisy cymbal. Remember these famous words? He goes all the way through chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, words you often hear at wedding ceremonies. And after that, he challenges his readers to arrange their lives in response to these teachings. In other words, to make love their aim, or follow the way of love. Is life that simple? Yes, it's that simple. God makes his teaching that way because he wants all the world's people to be able to understand it and follow it. You don't have to have many years of special training, great talent, other things to know what love is. In fact, lots of study and many years of life experience sometimes can get in the way of a simple, pure love guiding your life. children can sometimes get this teacher better than adults. It's simple, but it's not easy, is it? When we look at the way that we struggle to treat our family members well, to get along with people at work, to even get along with brothers and sisters in church, perhaps, we're aware, painfully aware sometimes, if we're honest, how difficult it is for us to follow the way of love. For example, we have this teaching, do not commit adultery. Suppose I decide I have sexual needs that are not being met. My marriage partner is not meeting my needs. So that gives me the right to have a girlfriend on the side. Okay, I decide this. And I have the right to be happy. My culture tells me that, yes. So even if I don't actively seek out a relationship like that, when someone tempts me with it, I'm not strong enough to say no. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, the Bible's God does not just tell us, that's wrong, don't do it. He says it's wrong because it goes against his principle of love. That means he loves my marriage partner no matter what. And he asked me to join him in loving her before we even got married. That's what he did. And I said, okay, I committed myself to that. And there's also the matter of the love I have received in the past from my partner, even if I can't feel it now. Love will not let me forget what I have received in the past. Real love will lead me to thanksgiving and awareness of the debt I have to my partner. In fact, verse 8 says you can never pay back all the love you owe each other. Even beyond that, there's the matter of self-respect and a healthy love for yourself. If I choose to break this law, do not commit adultery, I can do some serious damage to my self-image, my own mental health, and my own confidence about myself. That is not loving behavior toward myself either. Well, how about this teaching? We've read, do not commit murder. I'm wondering if there's anyone here this morning who's really thinking, maybe I'll commit murder today. Maybe not. I won't ask you to raise your hand. If you are, please don't raise your hand. But before we pass over that teaching too simply, and think, oh, that must be for other people. Let's remember, 1 John 3:15 tells us, those who hate their brothers and sisters are murderers. Yes, if you look at it that way, then is there even one person here today who has not committed murder in his or her heart at least once or twice? Probably we all are guilty in that way. So, let's take these words as one more reminder that we all live by grace. That's all we have. In the end, the unchanging love of God is all we have to hang on to. Our ability to keep the law and through our careful choices and living as good people, that's just a dream. It's self-deception. That is not realistic. We often hear people talk about going to heaven after dying as if, of course, everyone will be there. Well, except for maybe people who do especially terrible things. But that goes against the most basic teachings of the Bible's God. He says, no one is right with God. No one at all. And Jesus said, no one is good except God. Wow. So, you may be wondering, why would God give us laws in the first place if he knew we were all going to fail to keep them? It's clearly not so that we can look at his teachings and see how well we're keeping them and feel good about ourselves, feel self-satisfied. Just the opposite. the law shows us how far short we are falling and pushes us back to God, pushes us back to the God of love for help to live a truly good life. In other words, God did not give us the law in the first place just to keep score. He did it to draw us into a deeper relationship with Himself. A relationship of acceptance and trust with Him. Out of that relationship grows the power to keep the law, the power to make good moral choices. Choosing to support life, not to kill people, for example, is simply one example of that. Do not steal. The other day when I was exercising, I like to go to the stairs in my Komanai and I run up the stairs and so forth, and I get hot, so I take off my coat and I put it on the handrail. And the other day, as I was doing that, I noticed this man has been picking up my coat. He's got my coat in his hand. Looks like he's going to walk off with it. So I said in a loud voice, "Solimo, watashi no mono da yo." And I felt like this teaching, don't steal. That's really important. At that point, I felt that because he was doing that to me. And so he put it down and walked away. I was glad about that. We think that's terrible. I thought that anyway. I would never do that. I would never steal someone's things, we think, right? But, well, if I want to download or stream songs or movies from the internet, why should I pay for them when I can get them for free? It's nearly impossible for the people who make them or the police to check and see who's using them, and much less to stop me from doing it. So, if I like my friend's CD, why worry about buying a new one when I can just borrow it and make a copy for myself? Lots of software the same. And Jesus seems to answer that question when he says, do not want what belongs to others. Why not? Because it matters to him who owns something. Their rights to ownership matter. Because people are important to him. So when we take something from them, we're taking it from God. He stands with them against us when we do that. And that's why Jesus gave us this golden rule, we say. Do to others as you want them to do to you. If the people who make those songs and movies, for example, give their okay, oh, it's free, it's yours, go ahead and take it. Then we have a whole different situation, different story. But if they don't, Jesus' kingdom principle of the rights of owners stops us from having his okay, Christ's okay, to take something that does not belong to us. Well, that may seem like so basic a thing that it goes without saying. But, as someone noted, common knowledge is not common practice. This great recession we had several years ago was caused in large part by great numbers of people, especially in my country, have to admit, taking loans from banks and other lenders when both the borrowers and the lenders knew there was no way they could pay back the money. Taking money that did not belong, that could not pay back. Many, many people over a long time doing that. Finally, the great damage came through that. We need to go back to the basics of honesty and faith. We need a strong moral base for our societies, for our world. Christ offers that. When we go back to those basic teachings, we can see that everyday things in our lives, like paying bills, forming a family budget, carrying a national debt, all of those are spiritual matters at their core. Christ's followers live by letting God provide for our needs. That's our basic approach. God provides for our needs, so we don't have to provide for them by ourselves. More than I'm going to take what I need. I'm going to meet my needs. We receive God's help. We let God meet our needs. He wants his people to have open hands, ready to receive from him. He does not want us to have grasping hands, ready to take something just because we think we can get away with it. It's not his design for us to wring our hands in worry because we might not have enough. Those are not the hands God wants. Those are not the kinds of hearts God wants for his people to have. Being the people of God means taking our life from him. Taking our life, receiving our life from him with open hands and open hearts. Again, it all goes back to the love of our Father who loves to give. Section 4. And finally, Paul shows us that when we learn to make our moral decisions on the basis of love, it leads us to a different kind of joy. If we don't know how much our Father in heaven loves us, if we don't really believe it, we'll likely try to receive our joy from other things. In Bible times, like today, people were looking to wild parties, or getting drunk, or sexual sins, to find joy. I spend a lot of my time, especially Mondays to Friday, Fridays with university students. Without knowing the love of God, and many of my students, where I serve, and around the world, don't know how to simply enjoy being with friends at a party. If it's not a wild party, it's not fun. Delicious food and drinks, not enough. The drinks have to be alcoholic. They have enough alcohol to destroy a huge number of brain cells. If they don't, it's not fun. Not fun enough. When they think of a good romantic relationship, what comes to mind is not Bible teachings of sex inside marriage with deep love between the partners and a lifetime commitment and deep understanding of each other and deep trust of each other. It's often something different. Our God is certainly not against fun. I've never read in any part of the Bible, "Thou shalt not enjoy life." In fact, God has greater joy than anyone. Our God enjoys life more than anyone. And he wants to teach us to be more like him in that way. But in order to receive that deep, lasting type of joy, we often have to be willing to give up the shallow, cheap, fake type of joy. Willing to say no to the counterfeit types of joy that many people around us are in the habit of trying. We will need to choose at different times if we're going to follow Christ. It won't be automatic. It won't always be easy. We'll have to keep making choices every day to go in the way of love, to follow Christ in that way. But in the end, that's the path to joy, because it's the path to the love of God. So, as we come to the end of today's message time, we pray. Let's pray together. Holy Father, loving God, you have told us that the really important thing to you is not our following rules or not following rules. Your word says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So, God, we ask you to give us greater faith. Give us greater love. Help us to know you better and learn to trust you more fully to meet our needs and guide all parts of our lives each day. And God, we know the word love from the Bible, but we still have not yet fully understood how deep and strong your love for us is. And help us to know it, to know you increasingly each day. We make this our prayer, Lord, because we know that as we grow deeper and deeper in love with you, we will come to love what is good and hate what is bad. We learn to choose what you are happy with and turn away from what you are not happy with. In that way, we'll learn to be more fully alive as human beings. So, Lord, in all the choices we make each day, give us your love as our wise and powerful guide. We ask it in Christ Jesus' name.